Thank you for the invitation to come here and be with you this morning. It's good to see each of you. I got to meet some new friends here this morning. And we want to thank you for your faithfulness and standing with us over the last long while. And it's so good to be here and see some familiar faces. Some of you have gotten older. And there's some new ones here too. That's always exciting to see. I have a few pictures. We are with the Wanna Clubs, and my wife and I were, we pastored the church in Avon for 11 some years, and during that time, we wanted to reach the kids in the community. And my wife and I, we tried a few different kids programs. Didn't seem to work out very well. And so I was asked to help out in an Awana program. And it was a pastor friend of mine from Deer Lodge. And he said, hey, can you help me out in my Awana program? And I said, what's Awana? He said, well, I'll explain a little bit about it. So me and my right-hand man, we filled up our car. And then we've had to take two cars to Deer Lodge every week, taking kids from Avon and Garrison. And we did that for a year. And then we started Awana, you know, church in Avon. And we did that for a few years. And then we were asked to become Awana missionaries. So we prayed about it, and we saw God's face, and we were pretty happy with what we were doing, but we applied to become Awana missionaries, and what normally is about a 3-month process, we managed to squeeze into about 2 years as we took one step, and we didn't jump right into it, but we felt God's leading, and for the past 32 years now, we've been missionaries with the Awana Clubs. And we love what we're doing. The Awana Club in Avon is still going strong, still reaching boys and girls with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we found that to be the most effective tool where we live for reaching our community with the gospel of Christ. Awana, well, here we are. I don't remember when that picture was taken. It was somebody's birthday. Anyway, I think it was my birthday. I turned 60-something. Oh yeah, 65. My wife reminded me. This is our family last August. So since then, we've had an addition to, his name is Isaac Matthew, who joined us in December.
No.
January, March, something. So anyway, it's not working for you, huh? There he is. A little tardy showing up here. So, I think we got a different picture of him too. A little older. There you go. Kind of like the dude in the headlight look. This is our 4th of July parade here in Avon. And I had some of my grandkids helping us bury the flags there. And then last week they had another addition kind of to the family. Our daughter got engaged to Jesse, and this is Jesse and Jessica. And they have planned a wedding in the near future. So the Awana vision statement, that all children and youth throughout the world will come to know, love, and serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we didn't know where to cut that off. That's a pretty tall order. But we didn't want to say that some children throughout the world, we want the Word of God, the Gospel of Jesus Christ, to be available to all kids. So that's why that all children and youth throughout the world will come to know, love, and serve the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Thessalonians 2:8. Says, so being affectionately desirous of you, We were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls, because ye were dear to us. And so when you look at that, that's really what Awana is trying to embrace, this 1 Thessalonians 2:8. And you look at the great connection here. You have in the middle here, you have the great connection. On the one hand, Awana is highly scriptural. On the other, it's highly relational, and it comes together. And you see that in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 8. The Awana global ministry, it's a global nonprofit ministry committed to the belief that the greatest impact is sharing the gospel with kids. Right. So, we want to, Awana has been going on 75 years now. This is a 75th year of Awana. And we want to thank you. Okay. Still not working, so 75 years. Okay. We want to thank you for your friendship, for your. Oh, you know what? None of this stuff is original, right? But we wanted to thank you because we've got the mission board here, and then we've got some deacons here, right? And then we have some, the Christian Education Board, the CE Board. Then we have some elders, and we have some deaconesses, and we even have some guest pastors, and music ministry with Gary and Lori. And then we're celebrating ministry, doing ministry together, celebrating Christ's death, burial, and resurrection, celebrating fellowship together, and we are celebrating you. All right. We want to thank you for all the, for the way you stood beside us. You know? And I said nothing was original, right? So we just want to, we really want to thank you. And you know what? We had a fire in our house. And I know some of you know that. And we lost a lot of equipment in the house. I mean, they came in and they tore all the carpet out, all the flooring, anything that was upholstered, curtains, furniture. It all went in three dumpsters. Anything electronic, all electrical equipment. So some of that stuff was in our office, our Awana office. And so the insurance company sent me an estimate to replace all this stuff. And I said, well, you know, some of that stuff in the office was not owned by me, it was Awana equipment. And they said, oh, okay, well, just go through and make a list of what was Awana and what was your guys's. So I did that, and I sent them the list of what was owned by Awana and what was owned by me. And then they took that, and then they sent me a revised estimate. And then I contacted Awana, and I said, this is what happened in my home here. And they said, we have a really, really high deductible. Okay, what does that mean? Well, it meant that our account replaced a lot of that, of the stuff in our office that we lost. But, you know, we sent out something that mentioned that, and you guys, one of the first churches to respond to that need. And boy, we got a copy of it right away, but little did we know that we were going to be out of our home 51 weeks. We had no idea that it was going to take that long to get the house back together. And even then, we jumped the gun a little bit. We were in actually before we should have been, because there was still stuff that needed doing. But Shelly, my wife had some friends coming, or actually her sister and her husband, they wanted to come and help us, so we hurried back and got into the house so we could be with them while they were helping us he moved back in. So anyway, it's been quite an ordeal. But we praise the Lord that there was no loss of life there. And our house did not burn down. It was just completely filled with soot. From that, we had a little, one of those little computerized vacuum cleaners, you know, and a lithium battery caught fire, and it burned up the unit, and it just sent soot everywhere. It was covering the walls, covering the ceiling, floor, underneath the beds, with the bed skirt on it, inside of drawers, inside of cabinets. It went everywhere. So it was incredible the amount of damage that that one little vacuum cleaner caused. But we praise the Lord. You guys stood by us faithfully, and we really appreciate that. We have a message from God's Word. It's not the one that's listed. You know, I was working on that. I worked on it. I go, you know, this just isn't happening. So I opened up a different portion of Scripture. I'd like to share this one. So thank you, Janet. But that's not the text I'll be using this morning. So we see in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 1 through 3. You don't have to turn them. I'm just going to read it. I think it'll be up on your screen now. This is the commandment, the statutes and the rules that the Lord your God commanded me to teach you, that you may do them in the land to which you are going over to possess it, that you may fear the Lord your God, you and your son and your son's son, by keeping all his statutes and his commandments, which I command you, all the days of your life, and that your days may be long. Hear therefore, O Israel, and be careful to do them, that it may go well with you, and that you may multiply greatly, as the Lord, the God of your fathers, has promised you, in a land flowing with milk and honey. So, Paul was a mentor to Timothy. And we're going to be looking in, I think, 2 Corinthians chapter 3. And that will be what our main text is today. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. You'll find that there, and then in verses 5 through 9 as well. So it's a wonderful passage of Scripture. But when you refer back to what we're looking at in Deuteronomy chapter 6, it's talking about passing on the commandments of God, and you to absorb them in your life, and then pass them on to your son and to your son's son. So, I'm looking around here and I'm thinking that some of you people have grandparents, are grandparents, right? How many of you have grandkids out here? All right. And how many of you have great-grandparents? Great-grandkids. Yeah, so you know what I'm talking about. So, we want, the Word of God says that we want to pass what we know from the Word of God, God's commands, down to our children, and to our children's children. Okay? And we have it's wonderful to be able to be in a position to influence not only your children, but your children's children. And we look in the Word of God, and that's what God expects of us from Deuteronomy chapter 6. When it talks about make disciples, generally means to help people become followers of Jesus. Followers of Jesus Christ, not just converts, but individuals who are committed to following his teaching and living a life of discipleship. This involves teaching them about Jesus and his commands, guiding them in their spiritual growth, and encouraging them to live out their faith. A more detailed breakdown would be conversion and following Jesus. Make disciples implies drawing people to faith in Jesus, encouraging them to follow him, teaching and obedience. It also involves teaching new believers about Jesus' teaching and helping them to live in obedience to his commands. It's a lifelong process. Discipleship is a lifelong journey of spiritual growth and just a one-time and not just a one-time event. Spiritual development and make disciples also includes nurturing, mentoring new believers as they develop their faith and grow in Christ's likeness. It often involves establishing relationships with others to help them in their journey of faith and to build community within the Christian faith. Reproduction and multiplication. The goal is not just to make one disciple, but to help them make disciple makers, to help them become disciple makers themselves, as the process of discipleship can continue. Making disciples starts with your own children. And it's generational. Instruction is passed down from fathers to children, and from mothers to children, and sometimes from mentors. And when we look at the example of the Apostle Paul and Timothy, we see an example of a disciple maker and a mentor relationship. Paul was a mentor to Timothy. When Paul launched his first missionary journey, it was around 48 or 49 AD, to share the good news of Jesus Christ, one of the towns he visited with his companion Silas was Lystra. Acts 14 talks about a healing miracle that amazed the people, and Paul's teaching about the Savior, also found in Acts chapter 14. In Lystra, a woman named Lois and her daughter Eunice, some people say Eunice, first heard about Jesus and Paul's miraculous conversion and became followers of Christ themselves. In retrospect, Paul believed their sincere faith and commitment to Christ also helped lead to Eunice's son's Timothy's faith. Later on, in his second missionary journey, Paul again traveled through Lystra. This time, someone introduced him to Timothy. In Acts chapter 16, verse 1, we learn that he wasn't just a follower of Christ, but Timothy was somebody that the other believers spoke very highly of. Matthew Henry, in his commentary, said that Timothy had gained a very good character among the Christians. He was well reported of by the brethren that were at Lystra and Iconium. He had not only an unblemished reputation and was free from scandal, but he had a bright reputation. As an ordinary young man and one from whom great things were expected. So Timothy was compared to others by the Apostle Paul here. In verse 1, we can read down through this passage here. But understand this, 2 Timothy chapter 3, that in the last days there will come times of difficulty. For people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having the appearance of godliness but denying its power. Avoid such people. For among them are those who creep into households and capture weak women, burdened with sins and led astray by various passions, always learning and never able to arrive at a knowledge of the truth. Just as James and Jambres opposed Moses, so these men also oppose the truth, men corrupted in mind and disqualified regarding the faith, but they will not get very far, for their folly will be plain in all, as was that of those two men. You, unlike the others around him, you, however, have followed my teaching, my conduct, my aim in life, my faith, my patience, my love, my steadfastness, my persecutions and sufferings that happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, and at Lystra, which persecution I endured, yet from them all the Lord rescued me. Jannes and Jambres were two Egyptian magicians who opposed Moses and Aaron in the book of Exodus. They attempted to duplicate the miracles performed by Moses and Aaron, but their attempts were ultimately unsuccessful as God's power prevailed. The names Jannes and Jambres are not explicitly mentioned in the Old Testament, but are part of Jewish and Christian tradition. Don't be like them. Indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, while evil people and apostles will go on from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. So we can expect persecution, is what Paul told Timothy. Yes, life isn't easy. We know that. But there is more than just hard knocks. This is people actively opposing you and making things tougher for you, or to inflict damage to your reputation or your well-being or that of your family. So expect that. We can expect that because God told us to expect that. Okay? By the way, I didn't ask what time we're done here today. Our service normally gets over at 12:30. I'm guessing you folks don't go that long. there was this cowboy, and he had his little boy sitting beside him. And normally the boy was in children's church, but they didn't have children's church that day anyway. The little boy was sitting down with his dad during service, you know, and his dad said, now you pay attention. So pretty soon, the pastor got up, you know, and he started talking. And he looked in the back and he kind of made a motion like this. The little boy goes, Daddy, what does that mean? Well, son, the pastor's kind of warm. He wants the temperature turned down a little bit. Okay. So there was a board up here with a bunch of numbers on it. It wasn't a Keno board. There was a bunch of numbers up there, and one of the numbers went up. Daddy, what does that mean? Well, that's the nursery. He's calling one of the parents to come back to the nursery. Okay. So this went on a few more times, and after a while, the pastor stood up there to preach. He looked down at his watch and took it off. Set up like that. Little boy goes, Daddy, what does that mean? Dad says, son, that don't mean a thing. What do we know about Paul's student, Timothy? Timothy just isn't one of several important persons in Paul's ministry. He was one of Paul's closest traveling partners. Timothy was committed to following Paul's lead that he spent much of his life doing it. He was so committed to doing that he spent a good part of his life following Paul. Paul must have been quite impressed because he immediately wanted Timothy to join him in his travels. The only problem was that Paul was concerned that the Jewish believers would have a problem that Timothy was not circumcised. So Paul himself circumcised Timothy. Paul spoke about this in his first letter to the Corinthians when he said that when he witnessed to the Jews, he became like a Jew to win them for Christ. To the weak, I become weak to win the weak. I have become all things to all people so that by all possible means I might save some. In all these things, he didn't compromise the gospel's message or cause anyone to stumble in their faith. And that's found in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 19 through 23. What do we know about Timothy's family? Timothy's mother was a Jew, and his father was a Greek. Later in his second letter to Timothy, Paul also mentioned Timothy's grandmother Lois. He wrote, I am reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois, and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. Acts does not mention Timothy's father protesting or making any comment about Timothy being circumcised, setting himself apart from his father's Greek heritage. And clearly, his father was not the influence that his mother and grandmother were when it came to matters of faith. And so in his letters to the men, he considered his sons in the faith. Paul's instruction was at times gentle and loving, and other times authoritative regarding certain practices. Paul wrote two letters to Timothy, 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy, while he was in Ephesus, that contained such advice and encouragement. First and foremost, he called Timothy my true son in the faith, in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 2, and my dear son in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 2. Paul was like a spiritual father who had adopted Timothy and wanted to train him up in the way he should go. Which missionary journeys did Timothy join Paul on? According to the ISB, International Standard Bible Encyclopedia, Timothy headed out with Paul on his second journey and was with Paul when he reached Berea in Acts chapter 17, verse 14. By then, he had already been to Phrygia, Galatia, Mysia, Troas, Neapolis, Philippi, Amphipolis, Amphipolis, Apollonia, and Thessalonica. Paul took a trip on his own to Athens, where he spoke in about the unknown God, and then connected again with Timothy and Silas in Corinth. Paul and his team stayed at Corinth for a year and a half, during which time Paul wrote his letter to the Romans. Timothy evidently accompanied Paul on his third missionary journey, though he isn't mentioned until he reached Ephesus, a former port city in Turkey. In their travels, they aimed to win souls for Christ and help set up churches that would teach Jesus' message without watering it down, falling back into getting under pagan teachers or developing false doctrine. Paul's missionary journeys took place over less than 15 years, from 51 AD to about 64 AD. So which churches did Timothy pastor? Well, Timothy accompanied Paul to many cities for many years. During Paul's fourth missionary journey, he requested that Timothy stay in Ephesus and care for the church there. He wrote two letters of instruction to Timothy in case his return wasn't imminent. He wrote his first letter that he wanted Timothy to stay there to command certain men not to teach false doctrines, 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 3. He was concerned that some had wandered away from a sincere faith and might lead others astray. So, as we look down through this passage, you can see we want to look at 5 points that talk about that Paul had for the points of wisdom for Timothy. First of all, the importance of prayer. I urge them, first of all, that request, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for everyone. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. We look back in the Old Testament, 1 Samuel chapter 12, verse 23. Samuel declares that failing to pray for others is a sin against God. He says, "As for me, far be it from me that I should sin against the Lord by ceasing to pray for you." This verse emphasizes the importance of prayer, especially for the well-being of others. Opportunities to encourage or support through prayer. You know, we look at the story back at where the king of Syria was attacking against Israel, and Elisha, I don't know if you remember that story, but anyway, Elisha prayed for his servant. His servant was all concerned that the king of Syria had sent down his vast army and he was going to take Elisha because Elisha has an inside scoop on what the king's movements were. And so Elisha's servant was all concerned, but Elisha prayed that God would open the eyes of his servant. And God opened. He answered prayer and he opened his servant's eyes. And his servant looked out there and he saw vast armies of the Lord that were vastly outnumbering the king of Syria's army. And then something else. Elisha prayed again. And it sounds just like home to me because we have a train running right past our church too. Elisha prayed. And again, God miraculously answered prayer. He said, God, I want you to blind the eyes of this army. And God blinded the eyes of this army. And it was a miraculous deliverance from the Syrian army. But it came about through prayer. And Paul wanted Timothy to know the importance of prayer in his life and in his ministry. You have no idea how God can use your prayers for encouragement. And what of the timing? Just in time, God wants to use you. Who can you pray for today? You know, we spent some time praying this morning. Maybe you have some other requests. Maybe you have somebody that's come to you and asked you to pray for them. Don't neglect that. You don't know how God's going to use that. Something else. Paul told Timothy to work hard. Train yourself to be godly. For physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and life to come. Down in the College of the Ozarks is known as Hard Work U. Okay, and when you graduate from Hard Work U, the College of the Ozarks, you don't have any college debt. Because while you're attending college here, you also work for the school. And they put you to work. And when you graduate there, you get your degree, and you leave with no debt. And they call it Hard Work U. The Christ follower's life is hard work. Train yourself to be godly. The key verse of Awana, 2 Timothy 2:15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, but rightly dividing the word of truth. Paul told Timothy to avoid needless entanglements. Don't have anything to do with foolish and stupid arguments, because you know they produce quarrels. Can you think of anything in your life in the past few years, in the past few days, where you wish you had just kept your mouth shut? Yeah. Avoid needless entanglements. You know, somebody was on Facebook here, and they mentioned in Tacoma, Washington, investigators arrested a man who is accused of shooting two people, one of whom later died, in the Felicia neighborhood of Tacoma. Nicholas Miller, 26, of Tacoma, was charged Wednesday morning with first-degree murder, attempted murder, assault, and unlawful possession of a firearm. According to a police report, Miller had a dispute with three people at a smoke shop and told them to drive down the street and pull over. Miller was upset over a comment one of the victims made on social media, and an argument ensued, police said. He then went and shot the people up because he didn't like what they said on Facebook. Sometimes it can be complete strangers. Sometimes it can be our own neighbor. Paul told Timothy, don't have anything to do with foolish and stupid arguments, because you know they produce quarrels. Be a witness. So do not be ashamed to testify about our Lord, or ashamed of me, his prisoner, but join with me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God, who has saved us and called us to a holy life. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. And then use your learning to disciple others. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be thorough, complete, thoroughly equipped to every good work. In Paul, Timothy found a father figure and a spiritual mentor who taught him to fight the good fight of faith. Perhaps one of his most valuable pieces of advice can be found in one of Timothy's letters, and it's a word for all Christians everywhere. So do not be ashamed to testify about our Lord, but join me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God, who has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. Let's have a word of prayer, and then we're going to finish with a few slides here. Heavenly Father, God, we thank you for the example that Timothy was of a good student. We thank you for the example that Paul was of a good disciple maker and mentor. And God, we just we pray for that to happen right here in Community Bible Church right here in Cupping. But we pray that we first start right in our own lives as we mentor those around us, and as we follow you with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And we can say with the Apostle Paul, follow me as I follow Christ. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I think I have a couple more slides up here. Is that not working? The first slide is a video. Yes. As we're working with this, I'll just go over this real quickly. Some of you will recognize the name Wes Spafford. He was the executive director of Compassion International for years and years. But he was invited to go down to Tanzania to watch what was happening there in the country. And what was happening in the country of Tanzania was that there was one public school that had started an Awana program. It was in a public school, and they did it for 1 hour every week. Well, the news got twice a year, the National Education Board of Tanzania, would get reports from all the high schools, of all the schools across the country. And this one school came back head and shoulders above all the others, consistently. So they sent a couple of people out from national headquarters to this one school, and they said, what's going on here? What are you doing different? Well, we're not doing a whole lot different. We're just teaching them material. They said, Your scores are just head and shoulders above everybody else. Your truancy rates are down. Your learning's way up. Your problems are way down. Something's going on. Well, we do a wanna one day a week, 1 hour a week. And he said, what is a wanna? And so they explained it to him, what a wanna was. There was two people, they went back to the national headquarters and they talked about it, and they said, we want a WANA in every one of our public schools in Tanzania. So they started working on that, and that was one country. Yeah. And then it spread to another country and another country. And then pretty soon, now there are 16 countries in the south of Africa that are desiring, they're asking Awana to come and have a presence in their public schools. Now we're talking over 9,000 schools in these 16 countries that have Awana one day, 1 hour a week in their schools. And they've seen some miraculous results because of that. What's the slowdown in getting more of these schools in these 16 countries? Well, they want to work with local churches so that they have some believers who can mentor the kids that are working through these programs, right? So that's one of the holdups, because we don't want the blind leading the blind, right? So we're working with local churches to provide us leaders, Christian leaders, to come and work with the boys and girls. So that's a good thing. Another thing, it's costing the DC about $650 for each school that starts. That's a one-time startup fee, $650, to get an Awana club started in each one of these schools. Like I said, there's over 9,000 of these churches, of these schools, that have Awana. So we praise the Lord for that. Could you imagine that happening here in the United States? No, I can't imagine that. But the doors are open right now in the south of Africa. And so we praise the Lord for that. And there's over 3 million boys and girls are in contact with the Word of God at least once a week when they go to school in these 16 different countries in the south of Africa. So we praise the Lord for that. What else we got to do?
We should add the video.
Okay, go ahead. Once again, Shelly and I want to thank you for your continued support, and we thank you for the opportunity to come and share with you today. God bless you in your journey, and I see that you have a vacation Bible school coming up this week, next week?
Next week.
Okay. Our prayers are with you now. And I think Jenny said that you have some CEF people come, and that is so wonderful. That is so wonderful. And you know what? What else I found is that a whole bunch of these CEF kids that are coming to teach vacation Bible schools have been through Awana where they're at. That's what we've been finding out. So Mr. Peabody, have you met Chris?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Chris and I cross paths once in a while, so. And his dad, Chris's dad, is the Awana commander at his church down in Riverton, Wyoming. So, anyway, thank you very much. God bless you. And did you want to put these out of here?